Amen. How cool is that? Chapter 29, The Art of Giving 2024. It's a big one, kids. It's a big one. Some of you can give and some of you can't. Well, that's not true. That's not true entirely. Listen to this. I hope it does something good for you. Chapter 29, The Art of Giving 2024. Also, those of you that aren't doing assignments because you think that you don't have time or it's not for you. Is it really for you to figure out what God's opportunity is for you to pick and choose when all of this is given to you for absolutely nothing? There's not a turnaround company in the world that offers this. Think about it. Chapter 29, The Art of Giving 2024. Those of us who have kids know what happens when you ask your little ones to share their toys. Usually it's a fight, and it's never easy. And in the end, the toys are shared begrudgingly and probably with a tantrum or two, right? Then there's the other end of the spectrum. We'll say we're grown-ups now. Those who give just to be the big shot in the room, showing everyone how humble and giving one can be, right? And then there is chapter 29, The Art of Giving. Let's begin on what to do by noting what not to do. Luke 18:11, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and even like this tax collector over here. Fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. Well, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see, the tax collector didn't say that. The tax collector just said, have mercy on me, a sinner, God. I can safely tell you that the tax collector is still blessed today. Look, if you're going to give, it's better to give too much than too little. Too much than too little. Sometimes if you're going to be stupid when giving, just don't. It's better that you remain invisible rather than incompetent. And I'm not talking about Christmas bonus to the employees. That's a payroll expense that is almost mandatory minimum requirement. I'm talking about something that's so much more. Yeah, it's to your church. Yes, one, yes, to God. Yeah, but how to do that? I'll talk about that. Two, one, to your church. How to do it. Two, yes, to those people who have helped you without measure. Things money can't buy. Honor, integrity, fellowship, support. Money can't buy such things when you have them. Respect them. When God has given you, give to Him. But do it correctly, with honor and direction by Him. You are CEOs and you've been given more responsibility than most, right? Give with that in mind. I must understand in my own mind what is happening with funds in a church. God made me a CEO, a chief financial officer. I know what's going on in a church. I can see it. God's given me eyes to see. Give to the church that's doing the work, clearly. For those of you in the Bible study Tuesday morning, Pastor Jason's church is accountable to God. And I honor what he does. He does the Lord's work in the rebuilding of our neighborhood in the deep south where $5 feeds a homeless man for a week. And that leaves that man nearly dead. If you don't understand the art of giving, how can you understand the following scripture, Psalm 149:5? Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud in their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Do you understand that passage? Of course you don't. Neither did I, till I studied scripture for a long time. It's saying that in the second coming of Christ, you and me will be part of God's wrath against the disobedient and evil people on earth. What? Yeah, can you dig that? How could any of us do that without a heart of truth and fairness? And that opportunity to learn truth and fairness is right here, right now, in our own lives, right now, as we're breathing. And we hopefully learn it before we die. And for those of you saving your money for retirement, be advised, you don't even know if you're going to be here tomorrow, much less retirement. Take care of who is taking care of you right now, in the now. Things I've learned. How'd I learn? How many people have I known that aren't here anymore? They're dead. They died a long time ago before they had a chance to say thank you, to change their ways, to do anything. And to those people that tried to help them beyond measure, they ever get to say thank you? No, they did not. Listening to your broker is a lot different than listening to the Holy Spirit, kids. Proverbs 1:18. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Think about it. There are a number of important ways to give. Let's talk about money first. Why? Because money's the big problem. That's the big issue. We don't have a problem helping somebody change their tire. It's money that's the problem. All in the name of what's good and honorable, right? But it's not. Not really. Everybody pretends until they actually believe what they're doing with their money is right. Everybody pretends till they actually believe it themselves. I'm old. I've seen it. I've done it. I know. Money is an asset, sure, depending on how one uses it. Be grateful for what has been given, yeah? And then what? Let's start with an obvious reality. We're all stingy, selfish, and we'll give if push comes to shove, but secretly, begrudgingly, no different than when we were kids. Stubborn, selfish, with one exception. Now we're all grown up, right? And we've learned about entitlement. Oh yeah, the old and most greatest word in the loser library. I earned it, I keep it, it's mine. I don't have enough money to be throwing it around all these people or all this stuff. What are you talking about? I do not. I'll give you a scripture on that in a minute. Kind of sounds like a Christmas carol, doesn't it? It's Christmas. My name is Scrooge and I'm a professional grumbler. Merry friggin' Christmas, beggar. Taste the sole of my boot. Right? Am I right? We totally feel like that. We're just not brave enough to say it. Or are we? Yeah, we are. In a state of entitlement, absolutely we would say such a thing. Yeah, absolutely, dudes. Come on. On the other hand, we'd rather give to those who we need, right? Rather than those who deserve it. We kind of like a bribe, right? Those who make our lives convenient, big shot employer. We go on vacation while all the other minions work and send money. As an example, instead of giving to the church or to those critical allies who keep my family safe and support me in love and wisdom, instead, I'd rather pay an employee an exorbitant amount of money so said employee stays at my shop, works like the dog I think he is, while I prance around as the man handing out bribe money. Oh yeah, think about it. Oh, everybody can say that's not me. Baloney. We all got it in us. We all got it in us. Unfortunately, if the truth be known, said employee thinks I make too much money anyway. He's envious. Takes the money and quits anyway. Flips me off, steals more from me before said employee leaves, saying all the while that that bastard could have been giving me all that money all along. Come on, kids, wake up. Well, we don't think about this stuff. Nobody talks about it. It's thrown under the rug. It's quiet, hush, hush, between me and God. We hide behind all kinds of stuff in the name of God. Expectations of giving, they can be very disappointing and ruin relationships. The art of giving is a slippery slope. The art of giving. Genuine is the word to guide the heart. Unselfish, gracious, respectful, always when giving money. Yeah, well, we're going to talk about it. Is that easy? No. Honest yields respect. Honest yields respect to see the truth of what God has given in your life and how selfish I've become with it. So what's the answer? Chapter 29 is the answer. The art of giving. Giving to those who need or do not need. Get that. Giving to those who need it or those who don't need it. Those who do not expect the gift. To those who have given to you and your family. And what they've given to you is more than was ever necessary, but it was needed, and your whole life was made better from that relationship. Now the harvest has come in. What are you going to do with it? The harvest has come in now. Think about that. God does that for you. He gives beyond measure. Now what are you going to do? What are you going to do for him and those that he brought to you to help you in your time of need? I don't know. I don't know, but I know that we go all through this. How do I know? I'm old. I've seen it all. I've watched it. I've seen people die before they got this lesson. I've seen people on their deathbed say, I wish I woulda. I've been there, man. How many? I'm old. Like I said, old. I've seen it. How many times? How often? Too many. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him? And it shall be repaid to him. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Do you know what that means? No, you don't. Come on, be honest. You don't. And again, neither did I. Neither did I until I did. When you do know what it means, your knees will become weak and your head dizzy from the weight of what truly has been done for you. Oh yeah, man. When you really get that, when you realize how silly you've been your whole life, oh yeah, does it happen? Oh yeah, it happens to the best of it, the strongest. At that very moment, you'll know what it means to manipulate people for selfish gain with cash money, blessings the Lord has provided to you, and you will be embarrassed by your own reflection in the mirror. Oh yeah, buddy. Oh yeah, he knows your heart, and you know your heart if you're honest, but it's hard to be honest with money. Listen to me, this lesson is huge, huge, as they say in the Blues Brothers, huge, right? Sharing the blessing is a test of character, and what God will create, what create in me is infinite. It's only restricted by what I fail to do. Knowing the right thing, stubborn and selfish, all personal gain, that's the problem, personal gain. There's no style or love in begrudgingly giving or big shot giving. We got people on this phone that make hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. And we've got people that make thousands and thousands a month and hundreds of thousands, and they don't have two nickels to rub together. So what? God gave you all of it. And he's getting you out of trouble. He always does. And then what are we? Selfishly motivated and, if honest, manipulative with the consequences. I don't have to. They didn't have to. Blah, blah, blah. Still, we fool ourselves into all that we've done and the indignant attitude if we don't get what we want, including adulation, right? If we don't get what we want, you know, saying things like, after all I did for you, blah, 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 blah. Or, they didn't have to do that, blah, blah, blah. They didn't have to do that. I know what they were doing, blah, blah, blah. We fool ourselves. How can I pay it forward? How can I be an example if stubbornly I stay the same as I've always been? How? Even after all the Lord has done for me, how can I graciously, wonderfully, and lovingly tell my story if I still live my way without the word, without God's name only? With God's name, I'm sorry, with God. How can I pretend to be an example if all I use is God's name only? I don't study, I don't fellowship, I don't do his precepts. How can I give like Christ? How can I give even a little bit if I don't truly know Christ? What scripture would I use to describe the heart I wish I had? The heart I wish I had in God? Where's God taking you if you'll let him? Where is God taking you? I'm going to tell you a place. You're not going to know this scripture, but it's a beautiful place. Where does he want to take you and me? A city, a very special city. Listen to this description in Revelation 21:11. The city of God. Having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. That passage describes the New Jerusalem. In a 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth, it will happen. It is foretold. a Jerusalem above the land of Jerusalem, where God will reside, sharing fellowship with his people. He gives residence there for you. Only a saint can live there. God says we will all go there as believers. God says we will all go there as believers in Christ. Believers in Christ is the key word, the operative word, the essential word. Now stay with me, kids. Stay with me. This is so important. This is the key to so many things. Does God expect anything in return for what he does for you? Only that you believe in the cross, the resurrection of Christ across the board. When we give, there should never be a spirit of payback or manipulation in giving. Rather, a spirit of great blessing and honor for another. That you are in my life. May I assist your family in a way suitable to the heart I have for you. Whether you need it or not, my friend, ask or not, it is my gift to you. Pretty elegant set of words, right? Could you say that? Could you say that? You have been a great blessing and honor. You are in my life. May I assist your family in a way suitable to the heart I have for you. Whether you need it or not, I don't want you to ask or not. It's just my gift to you. Pretty elegant set of words, right? Try it. It's impossible. There's an old joke about a guy lost at sea. And his boat having sunk, he promises a long list of items he'll do if the Lord will only save his life. Just save me, I'm out in the dirt. Okay, as he begins to swim, the Lord gets him closer to land. And the closer he gets to the land, the less and less he keeps his verbal promises. He hadn't even done anything yet. It was just by verbal promises. Upon actually arriving on the beach, the list has been reduced to a lot of best effort promises and maybe if I have time phraseology instead of the deal originally put on the table. Let's not be that guy. What kind of person do I hope I am? Luke 10, 30, 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. Sounds like California, right? They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, that would be Jesus, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. What if that guy on the side of the road wasn't a guy at all? What if he was an angel of God and this was a test for all those pious goofballs that walk by? Good food for thought, right? There are wonderful, quiet individuals that do financing and the work of God's church. Under the radar, busy about the Lord's work. You may find them setting up chairs on Sunday morning, Wednesday midweek. They may be on greeting committee, walking the halls of the church and the security team. Oh, I get it. So I'll just help the church with, I'll just help the church and these other people, my allies, with my time instead of money. Yeah, there we go. There's the jackass in me. There it is. I don't want to give any money. I'll just put my time in, and that's my tithe. Yeah, okay. This isn't just about tithes. I want you to get that in your head. This isn't just about the church. There are people in your life that God put in there that couldn't be there without God. When it comes to money, it's an entirely next level of giving. Why? Because the devil's all over it, man. He's all over it. Chapter 29 is about an artful way of giving, a brilliant, creative way of surprising another soul with complete and total gift of giving. The art of giving. Art. What's that sound like? Well, for God, it's easy. You and him talk about it. And then you know what to do, hopefully. You're listening. When it becomes about people in your life, well, that's a whole very different thing. When it's about the church, I'll tell you about that. As CEOs, you got to know what the church is doing. You can't just throw money at the church and expect it to be something. You got to know what you're giving to. And I'll tell you that in a second. Now, when it comes to people in your life, not a church, that's different, man. Let me give you an example. That's on you. I mean, that's something really... So let's say I call my buddy Bob on the phone who has been there. Let me give you an example. I call my buddy Bob on the phone who's been there for me and my company through all the trials and tribulations of my work, my family, all the challenges I've had. You know, Bob could be anybody in my life, a professional, a teacher, a childcare ally in the most difficult of times and for a long time. He could be, someone, a professional in my life with my company. He could be any of that, anything. But here we go. Example number one. I pick up the phone and I say, Bob, you've been very special in my life and I'd like to do something for you, as you've always been there for me. I'm going to give you quite a sum of money to express to your family and God what a blessing you've been in my life. I couldn't have done it without you, Bob. I couldn't have done it without your help. So there's no reason not to share in the harvest. I know you don't necessarily need it and you didn't ask me for it, but you didn't need me when we met, but you stayed with me anyway. I'd like to keep this between us. I'd like to not share it. I just want you and me to know it. I'm grateful we met. Be blessed, brother, from me to you. That is honor, kids. Let's try another one. Let's go with Ralph. Hey, Ralphie. When you go home tonight, I want to apologize in advance. Okay? I'm just telling you, I want to apologize. You know that fence around your house? It's definitely seen better days, and you've been talking about it for a long time, you know, replacing it, you know, how much it costs, whatever it is. Look, I'm sorry. I apologize. I took the liberty of replacing the whole fence and the gates and resurfacing your driveway. It's the only way I could say, hey, man, you rock, buddy, forever. Hey, don't say anything. I know you're going to be mad at me, but I hope you'll forgive me for the intrusion. But, dude, you've always been there for me. And I couldn't have done any of this without you. I appreciate you, and I hope it's enough. But I don't know how it could be. You the man, dog. That's honor. Believe it. That's honor. Proverbs 18:24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Honor and loyalty can't be bought. It either is... or it ain't. Satan causes division, dissension, broken hearts, disappointment, so on and so on and so on in the area of giving because of entitlement, selfish, sticky, weirdo, human, dumb. Let's talk about Christmas bonuses again. Company bonuses is not what I'm talking about. Christmas bonus scenarios are a normal course of payroll. The boss would like to believe that the employees are singing, all hail to the boss, but they're not. It's expected. Not too much, not too little. Never forget that. There's a sweet spot in that. Elegance and humility is given as a reflection of God in the mirror, the Holy Spirit inside of you. We're talking about giving to special people, the art of giving, alliances in your life, and God. If there's anything else in the mirror, besides the Holy Spirit, change it right now. Search yourself and find God in you. Psalm 138. You have exalted your name and your promise above everything else. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased strength within me. Think about that. Well, we don't think about that when it's time to give a little of all that we've got. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we're like, yeah, you know, I need to keep it. Look, man, I've always said if you want to make a jerk, throw a man in a glass of water, add money, and stir. Given the opportunity to give kids, do it right. Keep your selfish nature out of it. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. I always said, if you want to be selfish, give more. If you're a selfish person, give more. You get more. But do it the way God says, not with your expectation. Well, if I do this, how much do I get? Give me a break. Malachi 3:9-11. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. The only place in the Bible God says, put me to the test. Now here's for those when you don't have any money. Yeah, think about it. You don't have any money. The heck is Pat talking about? I don't have any money. What are you talking about? I don't have nothing. You know, this guy doesn't get it. I get it. Why? I'm old. Mark 12:41-44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Okie dokie. That's the bar, isn't it? That's the bar. Well, what if I just don't feel like it? How about that? I just don't feel like it. You know, like, I'll consider what you said. I just don't feel like it. That, my friends, is a self-righteous, vicious spirit. Kill it inside of you. Never let it breathe again. Proverbs 11:24, there is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will prosper, and he who waters will himself be watered. What's that mean? It goes, how can you give it all away and get more back? How does that happen? That's God, baby. Do it right. Don't do it with expectation. Every pastor's learned to help those in need. Often those people who are so grateful for the help at the beginning, right? They come into a pastor. Thank you, pastor. We're having such a hard time. Marriages and the business and the children. Oh, my life is at stake. I need help. And the pastor takes them in and he counsels them and they go to church. Oh, I'm reading the book, pastor. And oh, God is being so good to us. Right? And then after everything's okay, people forget. Forget, no time for tithes. They didn't put a dime in the basket. Because, you know, everything's so hard right now, right? Now it's time the pastor's a jerk and they thumb their nose at the church and they leave, right? Proverbs 26:11, like a dog that returns to its vomit, so is a fool who repeats his foolishness. Whoo, that stuff is hard. Scripture's a pretty big deal for those who think it's like all past, it's the old days and all that. Seems pretty pointed to me right now. Seems pretty true right now, right? Oh yeah, my friends, with God there comes great responsibility. And that responsibility, there comes great personal testing. James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. What's that mean? You don't get that either. Well, neither did I till I did. What's it mean? Behave yourself. Things work better when you behave yourself. You've been given so much, kids. Even those of you that are in trouble right now, you've been given so much. Look at your life and compare it to those people in Africa. Compare it to those people who are at war. You've been given so much. Look for the opportunity to give too much. Not to give, I'm going to give. I'm getting it, just little giving at it. Too much. Give too much. Quietly to those who truly matter, to your family, when matter meant everything and God brought them in your life. And that includes people in the church. No, it includes the church and people, not necessarily people in the church or not in the church, people in your life, alliances you'd have never had without God. Chapter 29, The Art of Giving. Paint a picture with the hand of God. Title it, Colors in My Life, Painted Because of You. Let me be your example. Is this chapter for everybody? I don't know, and I don't care. Make sure it's for you. Amen. John, let's get back to work.